to move over to CONCACAF. So the CONCACAF Nations League, this edition of it wraps up, at least the group stage of it wraps up this window. League A has actually already concluded their matches. As we've shifted to the Nations League quarterfinals and the Copa America qualifying games as well. We've got four sets of matches there. We've got Costa Rica against Panama. We've got Jamaica against Canada, United States against Trinidad and Tobago, and Honduras against Mexico. And this is, they're calling it the Nations League quarterfinals. But it's, I think teams are probably going to be a little more interested in qualifying for the Copa America. It's just my sense.
Yeah, I think that's what the focus is. You can see that evidenced by the fact that when they released their squads, like Mexico did earlier today, it didn't even talk about the Nations League. It talked about, yeah. it talked about how this is qualification for Copa America.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That is not surprising, but it's cool. I am a huge proponent of what CONCACAF has done over the last year, really. I think they've made the Nations League better. I think they have taken a huge step forward in really pushing the Copa America to be a combined North America, South America tournament. I think they're great things for CONCACAF. And I'm really excited with what they're doing. I think they've made it much, much, much more interesting, and really given teams an opportunity to grow and develop. CONCACAF's one of those confederations where you see the same teams. Like, it's Mexico and the United States, and then not always, of course, but some combination of Canada's is good now, Panama, Costa Rica. You tend to see a lot of the same teams towards the top, and I think they're really giving other teams the opportunity to develop and play good competition and really try to challenge that top. But for this time, these are the matchups we have, and six of the eight teams will qualify. So the four head-to-head matchup, the winners of those matchups will qualify. In addition, the four losers of those head-to-head matchups will play follow-up games against each other to determine the final two teams. So six of the eight teams are going to qualify. That being said, let's jump into the matchups. Costa Rica and Panama. Two teams very unfamiliar with each other. I don't think they've ever played.
they're not neighbors either.
No.
No, this isn't even close to a derby feel at all.
I don't think anyone was surprised that it somehow ended up being Costa Rica and Panama again. I think this is probably, out of the four matchups, the one that people are expecting to be the closest. They've gone back and forth. Costa Rica qualified for the World Cup. Panama's looked a little bit better of late. Who do you think is going to qualify from these two teams?
Oh my gosh, flip a coin, right? Like,
it is.
So Panama's had the number in recent times, basically since World Cup qualification,
yep.
When Costa Rica beat them for it. But I mean, I'm expecting fireworks here, and I'll be severely disappointed if there's not. So yeah, it's a really, really tricky question. There's a lot to like about each team. Costa Rica has a new coach. So I believe this is really, or maybe last window might have been his first look with the team. No, actually, I think this is it. I should go back and double check that, and I should have had that coming in. But so either way, I think that's going to play an interesting part in all of this. I think the pressure's more on Costa Rica than it is on Panama, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely pressure on Panama as well. They'll definitely want to be there. And they've been in really good form. I mean, they had a great Nations League. Those four matches were solid for them, and yeah, you can't underestimate them. They've got some really good players. They've recalled This player who plays for Zorya Luhansk, the Ukrainian team, but he didn't feature last month for them, but he's back, and he's someone that I'm interested to see if what kind of role he plays. But I mean, this Panama team keeps getting players that are playing overseas, and they keep getting stronger, and I think that's a credit to them and what they're doing. So I am personally leaning towards Panama, but that's not to say that Costa Rica, you shouldn't sleep on them.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a lot there.
Yeah, I'm torn because I almost feel like the four teams that got the bye, Costa Rica, Canada, United States, Mexico, they played some friendlies in September and October, but nothing really to the level of what Panama was doing. And I think Panama might be in a little bit better form. I'm leaning towards Panama in this one. But I agree. I think of all four, especially, like this is truly a toss-up. And I think it could go either way. These teams, every time they play, it's close. It seems to kind of go back and forth. Sometimes it leans towards Costa Rica, sometimes leans towards Panama, but I think ultimately both of these teams qualify for the Copa America.
Yeah.
Regardless, I think they're probably good enough that if they lose this match, they'll win the follow-up. But I'll go with Panama on this in this first matchup.
Nice. Good choice.
All right. Jamaica against Canada. So two teams that I think are perhaps not entirely, but perhaps heading in opposite directions. And Jamaica is a team that a lot of people have really liked more recently. They've been playing well. They look back to more of the Jamaica teams that you were used to seeing be, a team that reached the World Cup. It's been in quite some time, but has been strong at the Gold Cup as well. And Canada is a good team. They've shown they've got a lot of talent. We've talked about them. Did they peak? Are they trending downwards? I think these two teams are perhaps headed in opposite directions, and I don't feel really confident saying I'm picking one team. I really think one of these teams is better than the other. I think this is going to be a very close battle.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, yeah, they're just kind of meeting on that plane, right? Where like they're like passing each other as one's maybe on the downslope and one's on the upslope, right? They're at the crest together. Maybe is I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. You are. So, but anyways, yeah, I like Jamaica in this actually. I think. Yeah, I like how Jamaica's been playing, and I think it's similar to what we've talked about with Panama, right? Coming out of this Nations League campaign, I think Jamaica's the more informed team. I mean, Canada had two friendlies last month, and they did not look good in either of them. And you know, I think that's a problem. I think the fact that they still have an interim coach is a problem. Jamaica's really playing their cards close to their chest. They have not even released their roster for these games yet. And we're sitting at Friday at 10:30 at night, you know, and it's interesting that that hasn't really come out yet. And I like what Hal Dorson is doing with Jamaica. So for me, there's a lot to like about Jamaica in this, and I feel like Canada's coming in kind of flat, and I think it's going to be to their detriment. The only thing I would say is that they do have some players. Tejon Buchanan is playing pretty well in Belgium at the moment. So, you know, credit to him. But I mean, other than that, this Canada team is not.
I think Canada, it's they haven't really had anything to play for in quite some time.
Yeah.
And Gold Cup, some teams take it seriously, some teams don't take it as serious. To me, Canada's bring their best for this qualification. Like, I look at this Canada squad that they're bringing in. I'm not looking at it and thinking, wow, they're really, you know, missing some of their top players. I think Canada might be a little bit underestimated coming into this, and particularly because of how high people are on Jamaica and so forth. So
like
yes. But I mean, for good reason. Jamaica deservedly is getting the recognition that, you know, they've earned. So
this is the thing I think that we've seen with Jamaica, though, is, you know, that it's a lot of times they have the player piece. It's mm-hmm. the mentality piece. And I still wonder if that's a bit of an issue for them. And
yeah,
I hope not. You know, if Halldorsen's brought some of that Icelandic mentality, that tough,
yeah,
you know, then I think this is a different Jamaica team that we're talking about here. But yeah, this is going to be a big test for them for sure.
I think when you look at coaching, you have to give Jamaica the edge there. Just with the uncertainty in Canada, you know, this is why Jamaica made the move they did. You know, we've talked about it, and an Icelandic coach coaching the Jamaican team, basically cool runnings. So it's this is going to be a great matchup. I think of the four, and even like as a USA fan, of course, I'm interested in the US national team. I'm really looking forward to this Jamaica Canada battle. I think Canada's a little underestimated. I'm going to stick with Canada.
Okay.
But I also, similarly to my comment about Costa Rica and Panama, I think both of these teams are good enough that I think the loser will still qualify for Copa America. I'm expecting that it's going to be Mexico, United States, Jamaica, Canada, Costa Rica, and Panama, with Trinidad mm-hmm. and Honduras missing out. So I think this is going to be a very exciting home and away, though. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, same.
All right. U.S., Trinidad. Is Trinidad going to knock the U.S. out of another tournament? The U.S. chose to play at home first. So you're talking to this about this a little bit before. The teams actually had and I think this occurred since we last recorded our podcast, but teams had the option to play home or away first, the four teams that got the bye. And not every team picked the same thing. And the U.S. decided that they were going to play the first leg at home, which, again, means that just need to, you know, you might just need to get a draw at Trinidad to qualify.
Yeah.
Which is always a scary thing. I think the USA is much, much better than Trinidad. And not only that, I think especially over two legs, I think the chances for Trinidad are very, very low to beat the US.
I would agree. I think it's a bummer that Pulisic isn't going to be there for the US, but I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think you've got two replacements in him. If Berhalter plays them correctly and puts Reyna in as a 10 or even wide, which he tends to do, is probably going to be okay. Pulisic sometimes plays wide, right? But Tillman also. So you've got a squad in the U.S. that is very much filled with players that are on form and playing in quality leagues. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned. I think this is going to be a tough ask for Trinidad.
Yeah. It's a really young team.
Yep.
For the U.S. But I think it's their squad at this point. That's who the U.S. is. The players are young, and I'm honestly expecting a pretty sizable margin across these two games. I hope we see Balogun break out.
Me too. Me too.
All right, and then Mexico, Honduras. How do you feel about this one? I feel like I feel a little bit similar to the US, but I don't know what to make of Mexico these days.
Yeah, they're similar to in many ways, I think, too. What was the team we were talking about earlier? They like win a bunch, then they lose a bunch, then they win a bunch. Just like that inconsistency, it feels
Yeah.
like, even though that may not actually be the results, it just kind of feels like
Yeah.
that. So yeah, I agree with you, but I can't see Honduras doing a whole lot. I mean, Honduras has a team that they've started to rebuild, right? They've got some players that I think are gonna that are coming good now and in the future, especially as World Cup qualifying starts. I think Honduras has kind of dragged themselves back into the picture for that. But for this, I just think it might be too much of an ask at this
Yeah.
point. So
Yeah.
Honduras, prove me wrong, I guess.
I am not expecting them to prove you wrong, but we will see. I'm looking forward to seeing Santiago Jimenez. He is beyond on fire for Feyenoord.
Feyenoord, yep.
He is just having an absolutely ridiculous season, just scoring at will. And it hasn't translated yet to the national team. He only has 4 goals in 22 caps. So he's, for me, for sure, the guy that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. It feels like he's their guy that really needs to get going to get Mexico back to, top of CONCACAF. Not that they're not there, but asserting themselves atop CONCACAF, I think we have not seen that Mexico in quite some time.
So would you play him over Raul Jimenez or instead of Raul Jimenez?
I would just play him. As long as he's in there and he's the number nine, I don't know if they're gonna have one up top or two up top, whatever they choose to do. As long as he is the target man, I think they will be in good shape.
Yeah, because I think that's been one of the pieces that a lot of Mexican fans have been picking apart, is that those two I don't think have featured a lot at the same time.
Yeah.
And with him being one of the most informed strikers, not just for Mexico, but in Europe, club
Yeah.
ball, period.
He is one of the most informed strikers in the world right now,
Yeah,
bar
he
none.
should absolutely be starting
Yeah.
these games.
Yep.
So,
Yeah. So something to watch for sure.
yes, for sure.
All right. So that is it for the qualifying. Let's shift down to Nations League B, and talk about what's at stake there, because the group stage in League B is still ongoing, as is League C. Group A, I think let's go through these a little bit quickly here. I just want to talk through each of the groups. So Guadeloupe and St. Lucia are on 9 points in Group A. Nicaragua's on 12 in Group B. Dominican Republic on 9. Group C is interesting. Group C has French Guiana on 7, St. Vincent and the Grenadines on 6, Bermuda on 5, Belize on 4. So that group is still very much
Wide
open.
open, yeah.
And then Group D, Guyana's on 12 points. Puerto Rico is on 6 points in second place. That group's pretty much done. Looking like Guyana almost certainly is going to get promoted. So at the top in Group A, you've got two teams that are tied, in Guadeloupe and St. Lucia. This one has gone back and forth. It looked like, I thought Guadeloupe was going to be the team to start with. St. Lucia has been playing much better. Guadeloupe more recently has been playing better. But The numbers have it as 63% Guadeloupe, almost 64% Guadeloupe, 36% St. Lucia. Basically a toss-up. Who do you like of those two teams to get promoted to League A?
I don't know who I like, because I'd be cool with either for different reasons. I think Guadeloupe could hang in League A.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be cool to see St. Lucia there, because nobody expected that.
Yeah. I hear what you are saying.
Yeah, I think this is going to come down to goal differential. They don't play each other again. They played the other two teams in the group. And so, unfortunately for St. Lucia, I don't know. There's only one goal difference, so it's really tough to say. I mean, it's super tight. But, yeah, I think I'd probably take Guadeloupe at the end of the day. But, excuse me.
Yeah.
But St. Lucia would be really cool to see.
I think I agree. Guadeloupe, I think, slipped up a little bit. I do feel like they're the better team of the two. But you never know, because they're not playing each other. So, you know, one team could slip up and draw. I think you might see both these teams on 15 points, which is wild. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go with Guadeloupe out of that group.
Yeah.
All right. Nicaragua and Dominican Republic. I think you could argue that of the 16 teams playing in League B, that Nicaragua and the Dominican Republic are two of the best three teams playing in League B. And they're in the same group.
I agree.
I'd say, you know, the two of them plus Guyana, to me, have looked probably the best of the League B teams. Mm-hmm. Now, one of these teams, unfortunately, is not going to be promoted. However, unlike Group A, they actually do play against each other, which is awesome. So it's going to come down to the final match day. Yeah. Nicaragua is hosting the Dominican Republic. We've talked a lot about Nicaragua as it relates to the Gold Cup. But the Dominican Republic's a team that I think is really playing a lot better. They're Agreed. A team that, for me, I liked in the last Nations League cycle and didn't really show, I think, their potential. But I really think they're getting it together. And to me, I feel like the Dominican Republic is really a team on the rise. What are your thoughts on them? Do you think they can overtake Nicaragua and get promoted?
I don't, but I agree with you 100%. I do really like them.
Yeah.
Heinz Marshall, Ricky Alba, right? These should be familiar if you've been listening to the show, because these are players that I've been like, oh yeah, look at these guys.
People are going to be like, Heinz on Dominican Republic. You're joking, right?
he's German dad, I think, and Dominican mom, something like that. Anyways. But I think you can't count out Nicaragua at this point. And they have also really put together just some solid results, right? And they've come together as a team. And I think going into that last match, I think they're going to be on 15 points. I think Dominican Republic is going to be on 12.
Yep.
And I think Nicaragua knows if they can just get a draw, then that'll probably be enough. Right. Yeah. But it's going to be really fun. That's one that I have circled. I'm absolutely looking forward to that one, because like I said, I just feel like the Dominican Republic has a lot going for them right now. And I'm excited to see what they do in World Cup qualifying. And I think it'd be really cool to see them get really far in that and maybe even qualify, which would be insane. But anyways, so I'm going to stick with Nicaragua, but I would not be upset at all if Dominican Republic did it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would say the same about Nicaragua, and, you know, could they potentially even qualify for the World Cup? I'm going to answer my own question. I think the answer is yes. I think they are, not that it will be easy and not that they will be favored for sure. You know, you're going to have Costa Rica and Panama and Jamaica and some others as well, but I don't feel like Nicaragua is that far behind, and perhaps I'm being a little overly optimistic. Just, you know, the competition that they've played against is not the competition that they will play in the final round of World Cup qualifying should they get there. But that doesn't mean they can't compete and, yeah, you know, make some noise there for sure. I don't think there are other teams that are in League A that you look at and go, you know, these teams are flying and Nicaragua's going to have no chance. So, yeah, I would agree. I think Nicaragua ultimately gets promoted, but I'm definitely looking at both of these teams as teams to watch in World Cup qualifying.
Yeah. And I just have to say in this group, I'm really disappointed with Barbados.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like our one-man show at this point.
Yeah, it does. Mr. Gale.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Group C. I expect the French Guiana to run away with this group, actually. They fell behind. They responded very well, defeating St. Vincent and the Grenadines twice in the last window. Mm-hmm. At this point, I feel like it's really theirs to lose. They're going to be playing Bermuda. They're going to be playing Belize. I just feel like it would be a huge shock if they did not get promoted.
Yep, I agree. And I don't have anything really more to add. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see.
I was disappointed with St. Vincent and the Grenadines in the last window. They had a huge lead. And I think, had they even just gotten one draw against French Guiana, would have been a much, much different story. But yeah. I think that ship has sailed for them.
Yeah.
All right. And then are we just going to assume that Guyana is going to hold on to their 6-point lead and get promoted in Group D?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's skip ahead to League C and finish up CONCACAF. So, haven't really talked about League C a whole lot. Now that we're getting down to it, four teams are going to be promoted. So not only the three group winners, but also the best runner up is going to get promoted as well to League B. So, Group A, we've got St. Martin on 9 points. We've got Bonaire on 3 points. We've got Anguilla, excuse me. I'm adjusting. Apologize. St. Martin, Bonaire, Anguilla on 0. They've scored 0. They've conceded 16. Not good.
Not good. Yep.
So St. Martin, 16 goals, one. You know, they beat up on Anguilla twice. But I think this is setting up where I can't see how the goal difference Bonaire catches up. Like, Bonaire is going to need to win by 15 goals, like, to have a chance to pass St. Martin. So anything you wanted to add on those two teams? It does look like Bonaire, though, could end up being the best second place team. I think that's something to watch for. Just looking at some of the other teams, it seems like it's going to be them or maybe the British Virgin Islands or maybe Cayman Islands, probably not, but anything that you wanted to add on either St. Martin or maybe Bonaire that could perhaps sneak in and get promoted to?
No, I think St. Martin's gonna take top spot in this group. Yeah, that's, I don't really have too much to add, to be honest. Although, I think it's awesome that they called in Jord van der Sande to represent Bonaire. So I'm a big fan of that. If you're not familiar with him, which many of you probably won't be, he plays for Ado Den Haag in the Netherlands, And so that's kind of a that's a big deal for such a small island nation to be able to grab somebody like that on an international stage. So yeah. It's kind of cool.
I really do think, just looking at it, I mean, if they win against Anguilla, like you would expect them to, they're going to have 6 points. That probably is going to be enough to be the best second place team across all three groups. And at worst, maybe for the British Virgin Islands, draw Dominica, or win, or however it plays out, it may be enough. So I think Bonaire is looking at a promotion to League B, which is a huge deal, because then you're not playing a lot of these smaller island nations. You're playing much, much better competition. And with that coming and this promotion, team to keep an eye on is maybe seeing some more of that Dutch connection brought into the squad. So Bonaire for me is a team to watch. Especially if they get promoted. For sure. I think they should have gotten promoted in the last edition and they blew it, but definitely another opportunity here. And the next time I'm there, keep for whatever reason, the Football Federation should stay open on Wednesdays so that I can grab a kit and bring extra kits back for our listeners and you and friends, and don't be closed on a Wednesday.
That sounds good.
All right. So looking at Group B and C, Aruba leads Group B. I think Aruba is in great shape. They just need one win from their two matches. I don't have a whole lot to add on Aruba. It looks like to me they're going to be promoted.
Yeah, agreed.
And then in Group C, just rounding things out, I do like Dominica to come back. They're currently in second behind British Virgin Islands, but they're playing Turks and Caicos. They're playing British Virgin Islands. I think that they are for sure the best team in that group. But the British Virgin Islands have been very tough. They've not lost yet. That's, if you're looking for some League C action as well, that BVI Dominica game, definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I will go circle it now.
Good. It's the 16th of November, so early in the window. Yes. It's going to be on the first day next Thursday. So nothing like some late night or late evening CONCACAF action. League C. Can't beat it. All right. Well,
it's not even late evening. It's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I will say though, League C action, getting to see in the daylight. I love the day CONCACAF games because you can actually see the islands and see what's surrounding the stadium, and you get I think better views that in those games than you get anywhere else.
I agree.
Bigger stadiums, you don't get to see anything. You're seeing the inside of the stadium. You truly get some of the best views in the world watching some of those CONCACAF games. So
yes, you do.
Definitely check them out if that's not something you watch on a regular basis, but you should.
You should. That's right.
All right. That wraps up CONCACAF. We are through two confederations. This is going to be a long show. let's get into some World Cup qualifying. So we talked about Euro, we talked about the CONCACAF Nations League. The other three confederations, with the exception of Oceania, CONMEBOL, CAF, AFC, we're on to 2026 World Cup qualifying. It is November of 2023. And we are full speed ahead on World Cup 2026 qualifying. Let's go. It is exciting. I admittedly am a little bit less excited about CONMEBOL than I am about the other two confederations. Teams are playing 18 matches. We're on match day 5 and 6 of 18. It's not the most exciting. I will say I'm probably the least excited for CONMEBOL, and they're, I assume, still charging ridiculous prices, like $40 just to watch one match on TV. They have to stop
They do.
that.
You're right, you're right.
But yeah, we're right in the middle of CONMEBOL qualifying, and I think for the most part things have shaken out as expected. You've got Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil at the top of the table, but there's a team in fourth place that I did not expect to see in fourth place, and that is Venezuela. Let's start with Venezuela. How are you feeling about this squad?
I'm loving it. I'm
I am
loving it.
too.
We talked about them a lot in the last episode, and nothing's really changed in my opinion. I mean, I'm flying. Like, I'm just really thrilled with the way they're playing, and I'm excited for them and hoping that they can maintain one of those spots, because honestly, I haven't seen anything from Paraguay or Chile or Peru or Bolivia that tells
Right.
me otherwise, you know?
Yeah, it's they're taking advantage of the opportunity that they have, and with that, as forgiving as this qualifying is, where the top six qualify and the seventh place team goes to the playoffs, clearly they feel like they can qualify for sure. I'm really optimistic about Venezuela. I think they're a team that we've to your point, we've talked about them as a team that's underachieved in the past and is probably more talented than their position has showed. That being said, I think this is a really important window for them because they're hosting Ecuador, they're at Peru. I think there's a chance that they get 0 points out of this window. And you see them tumble back down the table. But I also think there's a chance that you see them really assert themselves and get either a draw or a win at Peru and get either a draw or a win at home against Ecuador and really solidify their position in the table as a team that's going to be there throughout all of qualifying. So what are you expecting this window from Venezuela? Do you think they keep this up, or do you think they crash back down a little bit with the opponents they have this month?
I'm expecting two draws. So
Yep.
I think there is a good chance actually that they could get 4 points out of this window, though. I think they could beat Peru. I really do.
I do too.
Ecuador, I think if they can get a draw in that game, I think that's a good result for them. Even though they're playing Ecuador at home. I think a draw would be a good result there. And a draw or a win at Peru would be excellent. But yeah, I'm expecting two draws.
And Peru has not scored since the last time we spoke. They still have not scored. Yes, they have not played a game since the last time we spoke, but they still have not scored a goal in qualifying thus far. So they really have to get it together. They're at Bolivia. They're hosting Venezuela. I think coming into this tournament, if you trust numbers and people who like to do projections and you believe in those sort of things, you may have seen Venezuela and Bolivia at the bottom of the projections for CONMEBOL. Of course, that changes, but I think for Peru, this is probably one of the easiest windows they're going to get. And no disrespect meant towards Venezuela or Bolivia, but when you look at what the opposition could look like for them, I think this is one of the easier windows they will have. They need to score goals. They need to get significant results out of these games. I don't think they can even walk away, similar as you said, Venezuela with two draws. I think two draws for Peru in this window is a disaster. I think they need to get at least one win and probably at least 4 points out of this window if they're going to make any moves at all.
Yeah, I agree. They yeah, I agree. I think they would do well to shake things up a little bit and play Oliver Sun. But we don't know who's in the squad yet. Peru has not released their squad. And They've got a domestic camp already going on with domestic-based players that's already started. We know who's there. We don't know who their European-based players are, so they haven't released the full squad yet. And it's Friday. You know, time is ticking. So,
yeah.
Right. I think, yeah, I'd like to see them change up some things. I think their coach is on the hot seat. And I guess that's kind of my thoughts with Peru. I agree with you. I think they have to beat Bolivia and either win or draw against Venezuela.
Yeah. It is going to be tough. It is going to be tough. I'm very down on Peru. I just feel like they're a team that it was broken by their World Cup exit. Mm-hmm. And I really think they're going to have a tough time getting back there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're still relying on Paulo Guerrero. I mean, yeah. Look, he's a great player. He's an absolute legend.
Yep.
You know, but he's almost 40 years old. I mean, let's find somebody else.
Yes, I would agree with that. Let's move down the table. At a team that it's, I can't believe is in fifth and mid table in Colombia. Through four matches, there have been 5 goals scored in their games, which, believe it or not, is not the lowest number in CONMEBOL, which we'll talk about that team in a second. But I don't know what to make of Colombia. They host Brazil. They're at Paraguay. Are they just going to draw their way to the World Cup?
I mean, it's certainly starting to trend that way, right? And we kind of mentioned that last episode too, but this is like what they do, right? Like they just, yeah, it's insane. They have released their squad, and I don't have any notes on it, so I'll have to go back and double check, because there's been so many that I may have looked but not looked hard enough. Anyways, I don't know. I mean, they've got Brazil next. I think that's a big ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect a loss in that one. And then I'm not actually sure who they have after that. I'm looking right now.
After Brazil?
Yeah, they got Paraguay.
Paraguay.
Then they go to Paraguay. Yeah. And that one is probably winnable, but all these games are just, they're so tough, you know.
I know,
like Paraguay need the points so bad, and Paraguay's underperformed up to this point, I think, in my opinion.
I agree.
And so, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy. So
the lack of goals has been frustrating. Like absolutely. I want to see more, and I understand that you're going to see a lot of that in CONMEBOL. I just feel like there's just far, far, far too much talent across that continent mm-hmm. to see the amount of goals that we have seen.
Yeah.
I hope Colombia picks it up. They've got some good players, but it just feels like an absolute grind every time they take the pitch.
Yeah, it does. So they have released their squad, and I'm looking at it right now. And yeah, I mean, it's almost like for like from last window, right? Yeah. And you know, you look at some of these players, and you're like, yeah, I mean, these guys can score for their club, right?
Yeah.
You've got Rafael Santos Borre, right? He's scoring in Germany.
Yeah.
Right. You've got Luis Diaz, you know, the whole thing with his dad. You know, maybe that will fire him up this window and he'll do something. But, you know, he scores for Liverpool. I'm pretty sure he scored on Sunday or whatever they played. You know, and then that's not even to mention some of the players that are coming out of their midfield. Right. So like they have the ability to do it for some reason. Yeah. It's like there's a curse on the goal or something.
Yeah. I'm going to quickly run down. what their recent results have been. And you can stop me when you've had enough. So the last time that Columbia lost a match, just lost a match, do you want to guess?
No, just tell us.
The last loss was February 1st, 2022 against Argentina. February of 22. That is 21 months ago.
Yeah.
Since then, and especially over the last, in 2023, 0-0 draw, 2-2 draw, 0-0 draw, 1-0, 2-0, 1-0, 2-1, 2-2, 0-0, 2-0. It's just, it is a grind. And you just look back, I'm looking back at their results from 21, 0-0 draw, 1-0 loss, 0-0 draw, 0-0, 0-0. It's just every other match. It's crazy. It's not enjoyable. And I'm like definitely not paying $40 to watch a Columbia match right now. So
that's, hey, if you get VIX, then you know you might catch a Columbia match for free. Because VIX
good
has
promo.
It.
Good promo. So
they're not endorsing me to say that, by the way. I wish they were, but they're not. I just VIX, have to struggle my way through it myself.
The pod at window INTL pod.
That's right.
Hit us up.
Check it. Put the check in the mail.
There are a couple other teams just quickly I wanted to talk about. So I didn't want to talk about Ecuador too much. I think Ecuador is actually playing really well. Mm-hmm. And they got docked 3 points and are still mid-table. Yep. They would be tied for second. Without the 3-point deduction, they're at Venezuela. They're hosting Chile. I think Ecuador is going to be fine. I think they have established themselves as one of the top five, for sure, if not in the top four in CONMEBOL. Yeah. I like what I see from them. I'm encouraged by Ecuador. I think they're going to be fine. Anything else that you wanted to add in particular about Ecuador?
No, their squad was released today. A couple new faces in there, but both of them are domestic players, but good ones, players who've played. Oscar Zambrano played really well for the under-20 team at the World Cup earlier this year, so he's definitely a player to look out for. But yeah, I mean, you kind of covered it. They're really firing on all cylinders. I like them, and they're exciting to watch. Yep.
All right, let's talk about Paraguay. there have been 3 goals scored in their 4 games. They've played a 1-0, a 1-0, a 1-0, and a 0-0. Are we going to see anything more exciting from Paraguay this window when they're at Chile and hosting Colombia?
I really do not know, but I know that the situation is not good, right? So, like, going into last window, they had a new coach. He kind of got them playing a little bit better, right? Like, they got a win against Bolivia, but it was scrappy and narrow, just 1-0. And that was at home to Bolivia. Yeah. So, you know, that kind of makes it even worse, honestly. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. There's one new player for Paraguay this window, Ivan Leguizamon from San Lorenzo, who San Lorenzo in Argentina, they're actually a team that's playing really well. And I think Ivan has been a good player for them, and that's why he's gotten the call. So can he make a difference in this team? I don't know, but somebody needs to. And yeah, they're just, you're right. Yeah. They're kind of struggling right now. They're not a fun watch.
They're not. But I think when you look at the bottom five in CONMEBOL, and I'm not looking at the bottom five in the table right now, but in my mind, the bottom five is some combination of Venezuela, Paraguay, Chile, Peru, Bolivia. I think the other five teams in Conway Bill are going to qualify directly. And I think those other five teams in some order, one is going to qualify directly. Yeah. One is going to be in the playoffs, and then three are going to miss out.
Right.
So somebody's got to make it. What are your thoughts on Paraguay relative to Chile or Peru or Bolivia? Because Paraguay and Chile play this month, and I think that's that is I think a huge game and one of the bigger games, I would argue, in qualifying that actually is going to make a difference potentially in who qualifies and who doesn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, between Paraguay, Chile, and Peru at the moment anyways, and it's still very early in qualifying, and we've seen in the past where teams can change their form and change their fortune.
Yes.
But I'm liking Paraguay more than Chile and Peru at the moment. Mm-hmm. So, and Bolivia, I don't think Bolivia is going to come off the bottom, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either. I think the one thing I'm probably lined. I feel like looking at who has youth coming through, I think that's where Paraguay might have a little bit of an edge. I think we've talked a little bit about some younger players that haven't necessarily gotten a whole lot of playing time yet, but there are some young names that are coming up with Paraguay.
Correct.
Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I absolutely think that's a fair assessment. We talked about one a couple shows ago, and I've been kind of tracking him while he's been over there. That's Enzo Gonzalez, right? He went over to Wolverhampton, and he hasn't gotten a ton of playing time yet, but that's to be expected. He's a young player, and he's still, you know, this is his first season over there. But he's one that I think could make a big difference for Paraguay going forward. And I think you're going to see at some point in this cycle, he's going to be bedded into the side. He has never featured for the senior team yet, but I think he will.
Yeah.
So he would be one name I would have people watch out for. And there's probably others.
Yeah, I think that's something with Paraguay that I think could make the difference between them qualifying and them not qualifying is, are they able to bring in some fresh talent and support Miguel Almirón? Because from what I've seen of Paraguay, it's been pretty much a one-man show.
Right. Right. And that's what Enzo would do. He's a forward, right? So he would pair up, excuse me, he would pair up front with him and yeah. And that could be a potentially very dangerous, very dynamic duo if it comes off, right,
yeah,
with Almirón. So, because at the moment, Almirón, I think we've seen he's incapable, not necessarily because of him, but because of the rest of the squad.
Yeah.
He can't perform the same way he does for Newcastle at the moment. There needs to be some additional help,
yes,
in the squad for him, so.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. All right. Anything else in CONMEBOL that you wanted to highlight for this window?
Yes. Absolutely yes. One thing, big thing that I can't believe you forgot. So it is the game of all games, in my opinion, in CONMEBOL. Brazil-Argentina is this month.
It is.
And I'm really looking forward to it because we got robbed from the last one. We only got one of these matches in the last cycle.
I totally forgot about that until you
the
mentioned
other one
it.
Got canceled.
What happened in that? There was something they tried to deport players or something.
Yeah, they stopped the middle of the match. Like officials came onto the field and like stopped the match and it was just, yeah, it was chaos. It was total chaos. So like players hadn't been cleared or didn't have passport or something along those lines. Yeah, something like that.
It's so the crazy thing about this is like I agree. I'm very much looking forward to this game, and I hope I didn't mean to jump in, but is this like a glorified friendly?
I don't think so. Not for this one, I don't think so, because Brazil is 5 points behind Argentina. You know, if I think if they were 1-2 in the standings, then maybe. But I think there's a little more oomph to this one, in my opinion. So I'm gonna say no, and I'm super excited for it. So Brazil, both these teams have actually brought in some really exciting new faces. So I'll give you the one that I might be very excited about, but least excited about is Pepe, who's at FC Porto. He's playing really well. He's had a good season. He's a new face for Brazil. The next two I'm super stoked about. So one of them is my boy at Brighton, João Pedro. He gets his first call up for Brazil, which is insane to think about considering he's been on pretty good form almost all season.
That really is remarkable to think about, that he has never, the player of that quality has just never played for his national team.
It's insane. But he's there, and I'm really excited about that. And I definitely think that we're going to see him feature. Maybe I don't know if it'll be in the Argentina game or in the other game. I have no idea. Excuse me. But the other player that I'm geeking over, and this is going to be the center forward for Brazil for years to come, if everything goes according to plan. His name is Endrick. He's 17 years old. He plays at Palmeiras. He's already been signed by Real Madrid. Center forward, he's phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal. So I watched him in the Copa Libertadores a couple weeks ago when Palmeiras played Boca Juniors.
You didn't tell me about this.
And I mean, the kid, he's ridiculous. He's completely ridiculous. So definitely keep an eye out on him. I would not be surprised at all if he becomes the starting center forward for Brazil. I think we're going to start to see a transition away from, oh my gosh, why can't I? I'm totally blanking on his name at the moment. The guy at Tottenham. I'm blanking on his name. Anyways,
Richarlison.
Richarlison. Yeah, thank you. Richarlison and whoever else, I guess, is there. Because this kid is legitimate. So lots of I don't know if you want to call it pressure. I think they try to keep the pressure
Yeah.
off of him, but there's a lot of hype around this kid.
I mean, to be
And
fair with, I mean, yes, Richarlison, and I guess Gabriel Jesus to as well, but I don't really feel like Brazil's had like a dominant goal scorer. And of course Neymar is phenomenal. But they have not had, in my mind, a dominant number nine goal scorer since Ronaldo, maybe. I don't know if I'd go back that far necessarily, but I think that's something that I'm looking forward to because I don't feel like we've seen something like that from Brazil in quite some time.
Well, and I think part of that is because Vinny Jr., he has not really showed up for Brazil,
Yeah.
especially like he does for Real Madrid, right? And so, there's definitely space. There's an entry point for Endrick for sure. And I'll be fascinated to watch how this goes. I don't know if they're gonna throw him into the fire right away. Maybe they will. I have no idea what he's planning to do. But I think you're starting to see that the manager, Fernando Diniz, is at this point really starting to mold his Brazil team how he wants it to be. And the funny thing is, he's only a caretaker coach.
Yeah.
So
That is definitely going to be a phenomenal game. And I
I
think
guess.
regardless of, may not have significant World Cup implications, but I think you're going to see the best of both teams. That's going to be, one of those like you don't often see games with two teams that of that quality.
I think it's going to be a show. And I guess I should also mention for Argentina, so it's a first call in for Pablo Maffeo. A lot of you may know that name. He plays for Mallorca, and there's a lot of people who are really excited about that. So, well, I would expect him to get minutes this window. And then also Francisco Ortega, who plays at Olympiacos in Greece, has had a really good season and gets his first call up. He featured for Argentina when he was younger in the youth squads, and he was a pretty good player for them. And then he's kind of disappeared a little bit, and he's resurfaced at Olympiacos in Greece, and is really, as I mentioned, having a pretty decent season. So it's earned him a first senior call up.
Nice.
So, and Messi, of course, is there, and everybody else. But yeah, so it's gonna be a good one. I'm looking forward to that.
Same, same. Definitely did not want to skip over that. All right. Anything else before we wrap up, Commie Bowl?
I think the only team we didn't mention was Uruguay, but
Yeah.
I just mentioned them, so I guess that's
There
enough.
you go. There you go.